Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
We welcome you to this edition of the Lions Den University Report. It is our privilege and pleasure to take our portable microphones around the country and interview dedicated followers of Jesus Christ on the secular university and college campuses across our country. And today, though, we have really interviewed a variety of guests on this program. We try and be heavy on the professors because people think that there are not too many educated and qualified people who have intellectual qualifications and also hold to the Christian faith in our day. But there are at every campus. We find professors who are standing forth in their faith and applying it to their disciplines and living out the Christian life as followers of Jesus Christ and believers in the Bible as the Word of God, as the standard of truth. And so we're pleased to find that, but we've interviewed even a couple of university presidents. We've interviewed leaders of the intelligent design movement, some speakers on campus, such as renowned one, Ravi Zacharias, was on our program. And we have featured, though, coaches and athletes and graduate and undergraduate students, campus ministers. We've featured people from different nationalities around the world, different countries, and also people who have come out of a variety of religions and atheism and agnosticism to come to faith in Christ. But today we have an individual who's unique to our program, but not unique to most college campuses, and he has done some street preaching here at Penn State University, which is we're located at his church. He's a pastor of a local church here that they've been starting, the Resurrection Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Pastor Jeremiah Montgomery. And Jeremiah, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Glenn. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And you're a pastor of a local Orthodox Presbyterian church here that you're actually planting the church. How long have you been here, and what was your background that led you into this type of ministry?
Yes, so we have been here now as a congregation, a local congregation, for about 4 years. The church began worshiping in March of 2011, and we've been worshiping morning and evening since August of 2011, so right around 4 years. Myself, I grew up in a Christian home in the Altoona, Pennsylvania area, so of course, State College and Penn State were known quantities. Penn State football, of course, very popular in the Altoona area.
Sure.
I was trained as a computer science major at the University of Pittsburgh. I know that's verboten in Penn State country, but it was true. I went to Pitt.
Right.
And I was trained to be a software engineer and did that for a number of years, about 6 years. But alongside of my training in computer science, I had also studied philosophy and had the privilege of, even though I was at a small branch campus of the University of Pittsburgh, had the one faculty member there who taught philosophy was a Christian, a very committed and intelligent Christian. And so I ended up taking 24 credits with him and minored in philosophy. It was very helpful. And that set me not on a direct path necessarily, but it certainly put me on a trajectory that ended me up in the ministry. I can tell you a little bit about that if you'd like.
Sure. Well, let's go back to the professor at the University of Pittsburgh who had a course, and he included something about how faith affects worldview or something like that?
That's right. So every bachelor's program usually has some general education requirements. And in my program, there was a requirement to take some humanities courses. And so I took this philosophy course that was really just supposed to introduce you to the idea of different views of the world, sort of a philosophy 101. And in the course of reading that, I didn't know at the beginning that this man was a committed Christian, but one of the books he had us read was, it's an old book, The Stone Lectures from 1901 by Abraham Kuyper, and they're collected now and printed in a little book called Lectures on Calvinism. Now, again, whatever a person may feel about Calvinism one way or the other, the point of Kuyper's work and what it did for me was it showed that there is a connection between what we believe and how we look at the world, that all philosophical outlooks and theological outlooks, for that matter, are rooted in certain basic assumptions about reality that include spiritual assumptions, assumptions about super reality, supernatural reality. And so that was a very helpful course for me in just thinking through that connection between faith and life and to see that they're not hermetically sealed compartments, but they're really integrated, that all of life is really connected to what we believe, basically. Very, very important and,
right.
and foundational, transformative, I would say, for me
sure.
in that respect.
And everybody lives on certain assumptions about life, but most of them are not examined.
Well, that's exactly right. And we'll get to that, I think, in a couple minutes when we talk about what we do at the campus. But
right.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Okay. We all live by certain basic assumptions.
And the worldview of the Christian is, as somebody has said, if Christ is Lord at all, he is Lord of all.
Right. Francis Schaeffer said there is a God, and the God who is there, and he is not silent, right? That there is a God, and he has spoken into reality. Very,
so,
very significant.
If he exists, then he affects all of our view of reality, and every area of life as well relates to the teaching of the Bible.
Absolutely.
And so, just briefly, how did you get into pastoral work? Because you went into business first, I understand, after college.
That's right. I was in software engineering for 6 years and enjoyed that. I think, you know, I can say humbly I was reasonably successful in that. But all along, from high school on, I had been reading C.S. Lewis and then getting into college and taking philosophy courses with a Christian philosophy professor and thinking through what it would mean maybe to teach that, to go to graduate school to be a philosophy professor, to follow in, you know, my mentor's footsteps, so to speak, and be a Christian philosophy professor, to teach and to communicate to others this transformative idea that what we believe about reality actually controls what we believe about everything and how we look at the world. And so I applied to graduate schools, but the problem was I had a major in computer science, not in philosophy.
Right.
And graduate programs in the humanities, as everybody knows, has ever tried, is very competitive. And so there's a really long story that we don't have time for tonight, but the bottom line is that didn't work out. I did get into one school and kind of got offered financial aid, but the timing was off and I had already taken a job. And so we had to set that aside, but the bug was still there. And after a few years working, I really began to think that this is something I need to look at. I need to go back and maybe I need to go back and try to get into grad school again. My pastor at the time, however, said to me, you have a child now, you have a job, you have a family, you know, be wise about this. I'm young 20s, right? So I need somebody wise speaking into
sure.
my life. And
right.
he said, rather than uproot your family, why not start taking seminary courses part-time? You know, there are institutions now, seminaries that will let you take things as a distance student, and you can kind of scratch that itch, test out that calling, and see if it's really for you without upsetting your whole life and your family. That was very wise counsel, and that was what set me on the road to taking seminary. I eventually left software engineering in 2008 and went to seminary full-time. And right around the time I was finishing 2010, 2011, the church that I worked for in Altoona area was preparing to plant Resurrection Church up here in State College. So that's how I got attached to this particular work, and we're so happy. We love State College. It's our new favorite place in the world.
Great.
So, yeah.
Okay. And the site of Penn State University, and a university which didn't have necessarily a Christian founding, but we're just talking about the Pollock Road and Pollock Halls and Commons. Was a governor of Pennsylvania, Governor James Pollock, who was a godly man. He was known for praying an hour a day, and he was the one who put "In God We Trust" on the coins during the Civil War. And so the heritage of Christians in America is rich, and we are losing a lot of that. And boy, even a place like Penn State could use a revival of faith in Christ. So you are here planting a church for the Orthodox Presbyterian organization,
yeah.
and somehow you got an interest in doing something up on campus. Tell us how that the Lord worked in your heart.
Yeah, I feel like our God is he is good, and he has a sense of humor and a sense of irony. I think the first thing was To put somebody like me, you know, people go into engineering because they don't want to deal with people. They like to deal with computers. Computers
right.
are easier.
Sure.
To take somebody from the software engineering realm, to put them in front of people, to make them into a campus minister or a pastor of a church in a campus community, is God's good sense of humor anyway. But to go beyond that and to actually think about preaching in the open air on the streets on the campus at Penn State was it took a little bit more and. What happened was I was watching, I had made an acquaintance here in the State College community with a man who was professed atheist. We were able to get along and we had good conversations and we were friends, we were connected through social media. And there was a day when I was at my desk in my office and I was really wrestling with some difficulties church plants when they're small, every time somebody leaves the church, it really hurts.
Sure.
And it just so happened in the Lord's timing that around that time we had had four folks who ended up moving on. One set of folks, a husband and wife, had to leave the area. They relocated. And then we had another young couple that were never really from the area. They commuted in and they decided to stop coming. And so within the space of a few weeks, we had lost four people from our congregation. When you only have about 40, when you're soaking wet, 10% is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so I'm searching and I'm just thinking and wondering what can we do that we're not doing to meet people and tell them about Christ. And then I log into my social media account and I see that my atheist friend has posted a video of what I now call a drive-by evangelist on the campus of Penn State. Somebody who was angry, he was yelling, he was screaming at the students that are passing by. And at the end of the video, my atheist acquaintance turns the camera on himself and he says, because he's so full of the love and peace and joy of knowing Jesus. And it was a convicting moment for me because my first instinct was to say, he's right. The atheist is right that there's a mismatch between what the evangelist is saying and in terms of his content and then his tone. It's a gospel of grace that's presented in the New Testament, but it was not being presented graciously. But no sooner had I said and thought that than the conviction came to me, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, okay.
And I had been thinking about venues. How do I meet people? And all of a sudden I saw this, that the university campus, especially the free speech zone, is a venue. It's not necessarily, street preaching is not necessarily welcomed. Not that people love this, but it's allowed. We have this liberty to go and talk to people about Jesus. And how can I not take advantage of that? And so it's very terrifying for me because I'm not an outgoing person by nature, but I resolved that I would have to go. I would have to try. But we resolved to do it differently. We didn't want to simply go up and shout at people. And so what has developed over the last few years is our outreach to the campus. We call it a forum of our church to the campus called Discuss Your Faith. And I can tell you more about that if you'd like.
Sure, yeah. What do you do while you're there?
Right. So Discuss Your Faith is about raising spiritual self-awareness. That's the basic idea. We do not go to harass students about their drinking habits or their sexual lives. Not that those things are not important to Christ, but until a person comes to know Jesus, those are secondary concerns. The big thing is, do you know Christ? Do you know him? And so Discuss Your Faith starts with this assumption, with these three principles. And every week when we go up during the regular semesters, fall and spring. We go up at a fixed time every week, right around lunchtime. And we start right around 12:05. We stand outside the hub on, I believe it's the Pollock Roadside, but as we were discussing before, names are, they don't stick well. I have a little sign there. It says, Discuss Your Faith. I stand up. We have a couple students that come and form a sort of pre-crowd. That we do that so that people who are passing by maybe want to pause to listen. They don't have to be the first ones. It's a little more comfortable for them if somebody's already standing there. And what I emphasize and what my students emphasize with the cards that we hand out are three basic principles. Now, I'd be happy to delineate those for you in a second, but the first thing we say every time, I introduce myself. I say, my name is Jeremiah. I'm the pastor at Resurrection Church. I make sure that they know we're local. We're not coming in from out of town to give them a hard time and take off. You know, we're invested in this community just like they are.
I've been speaking with Jeremiah Montgomery, pastor of the Resurrection Orthodox Presbyterian Church in State College, who does street preaching weekly at Penn State University. And we're going to continue this broadcast on our next program.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844. Or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.